Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let me try this again. Welcome. I had a small glitch that I had to correct. Welcome once again to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is, as you know, on Monday nights, The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. For those of you who are listening online and want to get in on the conversation tonight, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. Sorry for all my online listeners who may have gotten booted off just a few minutes ago, but I noticed I had a small glitch that I had to correct in order for this show to go on. So it's done now. And that is past tense. Like I say, welcome. Hope everyone had a good Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Hope that brothers and sisters were able to get together with family, were able to enjoy each other's company, and just do something out of the norm, because the norm has been isolation. So just take every opportunity that you can to enjoy family, because this particular virus is not discriminating, and we have to understand that we need each other. I'm going to throw that in at the beginning of the show tonight and get it over with, because you know it was going to come sooner or later. Tonight, it depends what I do tonight. It depends strictly upon how this show flows tonight. I want to talk about, this show, I'm going to just give my thoughts, my opinions on the civil rights movement. We all know, you know, what it consisted of. We all, some of us, you know, have read about it, I just want to kind of talk about that and give my thoughts on that, as well as my thoughts, and this is going to be an opinionated show, and like I say, anyone, I welcome the callers, I welcome the conversation, because no one person has the answer. If that were the case, we'd all be in a better situation than we are now. So, yeah, tonight I kind of, like I say, just want to give my thoughts and my opinions on civil rights movement, why it worked, why I feel like it worked. And also, I mean, we all know why it worked, and why it did some of what it was supposed to do. I have said millions of times that our ancestors have left us a very, very intricate blueprint that we have yet to pick up and dust off and follow. We have got to get to a point in our mindset that we want something. And anytime, I'm just going to use this as an example, anytime that we want something, let's just say you want a new car. So you know you're going to have to do a few things in order to get that car. You know, if your credit is not fixed, or let's just say a house. If your credit is not in order, you got to get your credit in order. You got to have money for closing, money for an array of things in the process of buying a home. So with that being said, anything that you're going to do, you got to get ready for. So why are we not getting ready for what's coming down the pike? And that's really my question as well, because why it worked and why I feel like, and this is, like I say, going to be an opinionated show tonight. So, like I say, I welcome call-ins. I welcome opinions. And even if you don't agree with some of the things I say, I'm not the type of person to get butt hurt and put my ass on my shoulders because somebody doesn't agree with me. We're not monolithic as people, so we're not going to agree on every subject. We're not going to agree on everything. I wrote a piece. Y'all know I like to write. And it's kind of, I haven't even named it, but if I was to name it, I'd name it the way I ended it: our state of disunity. I feel like this poem is kind of on point with what I'll be talking about, and I haven't shared one in a while, so I just kind of wanted to lay one out here. Like I say, I just wrote this maybe 4 or 5 days ago. It was on my mind just watching that murderer sit in that courtroom remorseless. But, yeah, this piece, I mean, I don't know, I guess I call it State of Disunity. Anyway, land of the thieves, home of the slave, nothing done to build this country do I consider brave. Taken from the poor only to give it to the rich, while you pull up by a bootstrap. Ain't that a bitch? Promises made over and over, never coming to pass. One thing remaining the same is that our place is last, while we continue our docile ways, showing empathy and compassion. The things we yearn for are continuously passing us by. No need to wonder why. Blood is spilled, we cry, and constantly in refusal of UNITY. So we'll continue to die. An equation answered without question, while we wait for a confession, is made with Smith and Wesson. Even some of our own practice self-genocide, living in the same hood, doesn't necessarily mean we're on the same side. To drop one of your own over something petty, afraid to take the stance against an open enemy. And any who shows a true stance of opposition, seek and destroy, then should become a collective mission. There are situations happening we should not address formal. In the midst of this madness, we can create our own new normal. The time has come for us to realize that we need each other. Time to heal each other and behave like sisters and brothers. Let's change the game and give one another benefit of the doubt, changing the narrative and working problems out. restoring hopes and dreams, and breaking the illusion that we see, pulling ourselves out of this constant state of disunity. All right. Peace, power, and love, people. Let's get off into this. The civil rights movement. I, for one, feel like the civil rights movement was something that was necessary and it's still necessary. I feel like in 2021, we need to start our own version and our own grassroots movement and our own version, like I say, new normals, our own version of what our ancestors did during the civil rights movement. And in order to make progress, we all have to be willing to get our hands dirty. And when I say that, I'm not necessarily talking about physically. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones. We have to be willing to sacrifice and do something different to make things different. And that, to me, is what the civil rights movement was all about. And I say that we need to focus on us and start our, those like-minded individuals, we need to start our own grassroots movement so that we can be in control of our narrative, so that we don't necessarily have to have any outside help. So that means that we have to be willing to fund ourselves, just like our brothers and sisters did back in the original civil rights movement. And mind you, everybody in this country benefited from the brutality and suffering and death that our ancestors partook during this particular moment in time. You think about all the brothers that we had and that we had that were murdered at the hands of this system. And all because they wanted something that was right, fair, and somewhat equal. Because it's one thing that we should know and understand about America with three K's is that this country will never practice equality. This country will never practice fairness. And when I say this country, I mean this system and those who support this system, those who, you know, are openly supportive of our oppression and have no empathy nor any type of compassion for what we're going through. And we've seen that in the last few weeks because of what has been happening within the Asian community. And I am not one to want to see anyone suffering, being oppressed, being abused unnecessarily. Sometimes there is a necessity for correction. But no one of us has the power to control another's fate, another's economics, another's ability to get a job, housing, and mind you, whatever else. What was so pertinent to me about the civil rights movement was the unity. And like I say, we lost a lot of good soldiers along the way. Fred Hampton, Khalid Muhammad, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, and Nat Turner, and so on and so on. And we're still continuously losing valuable soldiers and warriors to this very day at the hands of nonetheless this system. So unity is the most essential thing that we can do, not only our unity, but also our financial backing of one another. That, in a capitalistic society, people will shut it down. You know, I spoke about the blueprints. Boycotts work. I get tired of people. See, these are the type of people who don't really belong in the movement, the naysayers. Oh, that ain't going to change nothing. No, that's because they're used to a certain accessible product, or they're used to just, you know, the being having access. That's what I mean by sacrifice. See, and our sacrifice is not going to be as much of a sacrifice that our ancestors had to make. Our ancestors sacrificed their lives, and we can't even sacrifice small comforts to change the way things are done in this country. So that is problematic to me, because it doesn't require any effort to boycott. The only effort it requires is you keeping your money in your pocket, or at least buying black. Other than Tuesday, we need more than just a blackout Tuesday. We need blackout weeks, and we need about 365 days worth of them in order to get their attention, for one, and for two, that will also empower us. We will definitely see and feel a financial difference, and also more of a financial freedom, by simply removing your dollars. $1.3 trillion taken out of this economy will do to it what COVID did to it this time last year. Trust and believe me, they're not going to give us reparations. Y'all can get off of that. We need to start thinking in terms of reparating ourselves, saving ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, I was on the job today, and I was out north of Dallas. Matter of fact, I was out there in McKinney, in between McKinney, Texas, and Denton, Texas. But anyways, up in Collin County, where they have been practicing. Anyways, what I saw and what I'm seeing around Dallas-Fort Worth area is a new segregation. They call it gentrification, but it's nothing more than a new segregation. and they're building themselves new suburbs with a lot of them there. I happened to be riding through a neighborhood, and there were this neighborhood, there were American flags and Trump train flags, and, you know. And we can't even make an effort to unify. We can't even make an effort to fund our own selves out of oppression. Because, see, this is me. If I ask somebody for something more than three times, I consider that begging. And what we're doing at this point is begging the system to give us something that it has never even considered giving us. Never thought about it. Never been a consideration. And when there has been consideration and thought, well, the one who is the driving force behind it, Malcolm X, MLK, Medgar Evers, Nat Turner, Fred Hampton, what happens to our leaders? They all end up on the other end of a bullet. Always happens that way. And you don't even have to be, back then, you didn't even have to be an activist. All you had to do was be black, and they deemed something that you do wrong, and they lynch you themselves, like they did Emmett Till. And I feel like that was one of the incidents that really jump-started the civil rights movement. There were many instances, don't get me wrong, I recognize and know that, but this is just my thought and opinion. That particular incident was one that jump-started it. But the difference between what they were doing then and what we refuse to do now is they united. They worked as one. Montgomery bus boycott, like I say, I've used that example millions of times. And niggas, excuse my French, but this show might get a little rough, still refuse to keep their money in their damn pocket or at least buy black. And see, that's how we thrived back then. We, before segregation, had grocery stores, movie theaters, even the small town I grew up in, had all of that within the neighborhood. See, and that's the shit that I saw happening just north of Dallas today. The new segregation, gentrification. And like I say, we won't even think about a movement. And like I say, it is going to take us like-minded individuals to sit down and get this thing started correct, and get this thing started the right way. Because if we don't get it started, it won't get started. And if we don't get it started, we will receive and achieve nothing. And that's what I see plaguing us today. It's a bunch of some of us. I'm not going to say all of us, because the brothers and sisters that I know are on point. They're after something, not just for everybody. They're after something. And we have to get after something. And that something to me is called freedom. That something to me is called unity. Because like I say, the movement back then, the civil rights movement back then, worked because they recognized the fact that they needed each other. And it was a lot more brutal then. Not saying that it's not brutal now, but it was a lot more brutal then than it is now, because you could just be walking home and get lynched. And that's happened in my lifetime in Jasper, Texas. Brother Bird, rest in peace. See, we are failing to recognize the repetition. Everything repeats itself, and they have never stopped. So it's nothing repetitive. It's nothing to be repeated. It is something that has consistently continued to happen decade after decade after decade. And it's only gotten worse because we have become so damn disconnected from one another. In order for anything to move, it takes an energy to move it. If I want to move something, if I want a TV moved, I got to put some effort into that. I got to put some energy into moving that TV or a bed or a chair or whatever the fuck that you want moved. Okay, so we all want racism moved. Why the fuck we ain't putting no energy in it then? You put energy in every damn thing else. See, that's something else that separated the original civil rights movement from this new version of it. See, it's too many of us that are self-righteous, self-serving, not willing to help your brother, your sister, and it doesn't have to be biological, somebody that looks like you. And within that, we suffer. We continue to suffer. And then not only that, something is wrong with us. Because we'll fight and kill each other and won't even chunk a goddamn BB at our true open enemy. And we will allow them to do us any kind of old way and get right on national TV and hug that devil motherfucker. Or some shit like that. I'll wait quickly. I forgive him. And I applaud Miss Allison John, Botham John's mother, Miss John, Queen Mother John, because she ain't backed down not once. And even with them, I brought this up on last week's show, a couple of weeks ago, they renamed the street after Botham John here in Dallas. And I got to see what she said, and like she said, that still doesn't bring him back. She ain't letting up on him. And I hope that she never, ever do like her son and her husband did and bow down and kiss the foot of the one that killed your son. This system killed their son, and they forgave the murderer of their son. I ain't got that in me. I got a lot of spirit in me, but that spirit is not in me. I can't forgive no killers. And then in order to be forgiven, you must first apologize. You must first atone. And that's something else that we're not going to see from these people, these racist individuals. We will never see that from them. We must realize our need for each other. It's going to take us to get this ball rolling, as the old folk would say. It's time for us. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps to impress them. Let's pull ourselves up by our bootstraps to impress us and to impress our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren so that they can have something that they can talk about in their lifetime, what their granddaddy, great-granddaddy, great-great-granddaddy set up for them. That's what you call leaving a legacy, leaving some generational wealth. That's powerful. Everybody always talk about some powerful shit. The most powerful shit you can do is leave your children's children something. Damn it. And we don't think like that. We don't even move the fuck together like they moved together. They flowed together in the original movement. And like I say, we've got just even back then, they had the distractions. They had the distractions. But see, they also had the code. See, and the code is what was so cold about it. The code didn't keep infiltration out 100%. But the code worked because the code allowed recognition amongst one another and like-minded individuals who were moving the same way. See, that's what the civil rights movement was. It would have never worked if only 25% of the people had participated in this. And this was a nationwide movement that was done by our ancestors. This was a nationwide movement that worked. And it did bring about change, like I said earlier, but just not enough. And see, we gotta, like I say, pick up that blueprint, blow the dust off of it, and revise that shit for 2021 because we're still dealing with the same monster who does not want to see another true civil rights movement. See, they loving and lapping this Black Lives Matter bullshit up. And that damn fool, Grandmaster Jay. Yeah, they laughing at them niggas because they know nigga shit when they see nigga shit. They've been seeing plenty of nigga shit for the last 50 years. See, and they know how niggas gonna behave, and that's why it's time for us to show them how kings and queens and warriors and warrioresses move. How we get down for hours, how we truly get down for hours. And like I say, this has to be individual by individual by individual vetting. And got to keep motherfuckers on code and keep that bullshit out of the mix. All that outside nonsense bullshit, it's the time for that. Now ain't the time for that. We worrying about every damn thing else except what's right in our damn face. We worried about who winning this award, who winning that award, and all this non-essential shit, irrelevant shit that to what's really affecting our day-to-day damn lives. And we won't even build a movement on that and stand on that. We won't even unite on that. And like I say, yeah, we're going to keep dying day by day by day. As long as we keep letting them do it. And yeah, we let them do it. Take it how you want and say I'm wrong for saying it, but we let them do it. We let them do a lot of shit because we don't do shit. Yeah. So it's time for us to move something. I just feel like today we're so separated. We're so into our own things. And that's one thing, I'm into my own thing, but I'm always, like I say, open-minded to listen. And then I may even be convinced to change. You never know. But that's all about conversing and talking and coming to agreements. And then, not only that, working with one another and stop letting little petty shit fuck up some shit that's meaningful. Make your shit sensible. We don't need no one leader. We need every individual thinking with a leader mindset and ready to lead correctly, ready to motivate. Like I say, the ball is in our court. We have to make the plays. You know, we can't always sit back and play defense. We gotta play offense sometime. And then, speaking on that, we're not really playing defense that good either. We need to get a little more defense-minded, not march-minded, not prey-minded, but, yeah, you get the picture. Like I say, it's so many ingredients, and it starts individually, straight up. Starts with each individual. That's really my opening commentary. Like I say, I'm just discussing giving my opinions and thoughts on the civil rights movement and why it worked for our ancestors, those before us, and why it doesn't work for us, why I feel like it won't work for us. And then, I mean, like I say, some of us we don't want to let go of that nigga shit. And that nigga shit is the reason that we still going through nigga shit. I'm just saying, you got to think outside that shit when you start trying to play chess. You can't make checker moves playing chess. The board changes. The pieces are different. The game is different. And for each battle, there's a weapon. And not necessarily talking about a weapon. So we need mental weapons as well as physical weapons. See, like I say, it's a lot that goes into revolution. We need doctors, lawyers, scientists, farmers. We need all of that working together for one good, our good. And it ain't nothing wrong with that, because I see up here in Dallas 24/7 these Hispanics have their own warehouses. They move their own produce. They have their own grocery stores. And we go to them instead of thinking about building our own shit. That's bothersome. That's problematic. And then you bitch and complain and gripe about how you're treated, how you're followed. Well, if we build our own shit and eliminate our internal problems, we can do the same shit. And that's all I'm saying. We got to recognize we need each other. And on that, I'm going to take my first break. You all are listening to the Panther Party Radio Network. And this is The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. You are listening online and would like to call in. I appreciate y'all listening, however you're listening. But I'd appreciate you calling in and getting in on this talk. It's about us, y'all. This is about us, our children, our grandchildren. We got to fix this shit. And ain't nobody interested in that. That's problematic. God damn. The call in number is 914-205-5538. Be back after this brief break.
I want to dedicate this to my mama.
What's your group's name?
New Kids in the Hood.
Yo, man, we got the right stuff.
Hit it.
Rolling, strolling, it's kind of like bowling. My head's getting big and it looks kind of swollen.
Hip hopping, body rocking.
Yeah. I'm MC Mallet.
Yeah.
And these are 45.
Yeah.
And we finna get busy, girls. Run it. Mallet. I am.
Mallet.
Dre, we still haven't found the perfect rapper yet. Yeah. How many groups we got out there?
I don't know. Let me see.
Come on, y'all. We don't need this.
Hey, is that it?
Man, you ain't gonna believe it. There's about 1,000 of them out there. I think I'm asleep on it.
Yeah, let's do that.
See ya.
Cracking the concoction created by me. When red, you read D equals the D-O to the C.
Knowledge and the talent that my mother had born. Now her equals an artist, I won't be worn. What is that, Dre?
It's the formula.
But those who wanna comprehend will again be in the midst of a brother. Unlike another in any way, cause Trey don't play, say what the others say. Originality is a must whenever I bust. The funky composition is crushed and I trust that you know it when you hear a funky record with potential. Be getting hyped for Trey rocking the instrumental. Nothing like what you've heard before and more. Nevertheless, see I don't fess. I mean I'm like fresh if not the freshest. When I'm expressing my thoughts on, Friday you can help but listen up and get caught on. Because I cook when I pick up a pen and begin in the end. It's dope, that's cause I wanna win. Knowledge and the talent that my mother had born to her equals the top, what is it, Trey?
Yo, man, that's the formula.
Making each record that I do better than the last one. Take a little time, choose the topic and drop it, release it to science. I'm making dope beats with rhythmic American poetry. Shift at the stations, now many people know of me. I'm the D into the O and the O into the C and the C into the period. Suckers are fearing this when under dope style calculated by the great. Waiting 6 seconds to get caught up in my record. Knew it, not a kid to be born. If something's getting torn up, then I'm doing the tearing, not being torn. Shaping up to be one of the top vocalists, lyricists, and when you hear it, this shit can choke on this. Knowledge and the talent makes it valid for me to get it patent. Trick, tell them what I'm rapping.
The formula.
Your question real quick.
Yes, sir.
Who is your favorite cop in the movies or on TV? Like, I mean, it doesn't matter which one, but who is your favorite police officer that they showed us as cops, because I mean I'm old school, so I go all the way back to Cannon and Barnaby Jones and Shaft and all of that.
Oh, I remember. I remember Barnaby.
Who was your favorite? They were more Private Eyes. Him and Cannon were more like ex-cops to became Private Eyes. But
right,
the
right.
Cops, Matt Locke. Cops, because Shaft always is at the top with me.
I never really have thought about that. And if I had to say one, it would definitely. Well, I used to watch what was that show back in the day? Hawk with Ballhead brother Avery.
I'm talking about a real cop. Cause remember, Hawk was Spencer's boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though Spencer needed Hawk more than Hawk needed Spencer. Let's just say Hawk was always there for Spencer. I don't remember seeing Spencer on Hawk a whole lot, you know?
No, not at all. Not at all. TV.
The reason why I asked that question,
I guess I'll say if I had to say one, okay, I got one. That was who appeared to be a good cop. Smitty on Sanford and Son. Yeah, I'm going to go
right. I'm going to take it away from here because here's where I was going with this.
Right.
The reason why I mentioned your favorite TV cop wasn't so much to look at the funny ones or anything like that, what it was looking at, but we don't know what Smitty and them did when they left the junkyard. The reason why I asked that question was because I wanted to talk about how we have been trained, even during those times, to accept bad policing. Our favorite cops, like Shaft, why do we like Shaft? Shaft was black. That's why a lot of people liked him. But let's look at what Shaft was about. Shaft broke the rules. Shaft did not follow police procedure. Shaft did none of those things. It became no matter what you do, you got to get the bad guy by any means, at all cost. And all the ones that came after that, I mean, let's think about it. On them shows, we watched them kick doors in. No warrant. We watched them chase people into people's establishments, tear up shit. They didn't come back and make sure shit got right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on. I got a call. Sorry, allow me a moment. People love to text me when I'm on here. They won't text me any other time, but when I'm on here, that's when they really wanna text me. But yeah, back to what I was saying. We cheered the bad cop. Well, we cheered the cop doing bad things. And I thought about how many shows came along after that where cops were, because most of those PIs were cops who had decided that they could monetize their bad procedures by being PIs. Everything that they did as a cop was bad, but as a PI, it was totally acceptable. So they stopped being cops to be private eyes. And I thought about how many other shows did it. Same thing, white, black, didn't matter. The cop, I mean, it's almost funny. In Eddie Murphy and Robert De Niro's movie Showtime, they started it out with Eddie Murphy practicing, or rather doing a scene for a movie where he played that kind of cop, where he broke the rules to get the job done. And now we have accepted this behavior to the point that even with video, even with audio, with witnesses, with every person you know with common sense seeing what's going on, somehow we still have to question and somehow shame the victim and still don't get justice. And that's because of our training and their lack thereof. But we accept this type of programming, and we've learned to deal with it to the point that now, once again, in order to have a court case, people have to have wood put up around their damn buildings and hope that the whole place don't get tore up, knowing that we have repeatedly been shitted on when it came to justice for those taken from us. I've been very disturbed with how they have turned George Floyd into basically a drug addict who deserved to die because he was in bad health. They are not looking at the fact that it didn't matter what his health was. He should have never been accosted by this cop in the first fucking place. Okay? I'm still bothered because the shit that brought all of this going, where's that $20 bill at? Was it counterfeit? And did George Floyd know that it was counterfeit? Can I get something that I can work with? Because right now, I can't wrap my head around that part, that once again, the person who's dead and not able to defend themselves is being raked through the mud in order to save this white man. The other night when Mark was doing his show, me and Mark didn't realize we were both correct when we were talking about his charges. He actually has three. They've left the one on the table that's probably going to be the one they get him on, because from what I'm seeing, I don't think this jury in Minnesota is progressive enough to put him in prison for a second-degree murder charge. However, I do see them putting him in jail on a third-degree manslaughter. They're going to take intent out of this. They're going to say that he didn't intend to kill this man, no matter how long he was on his neck. I ask one thing. I want to put my knee on Derek Chauvin's neck for 9.5 minutes. And if he lives, then he's free. That on me, you.
Yeah, I missed a lot of that, a lot of the proceedings today, and I usually tune in on the radio and been listening, trying to keep up with it. I noticed, I did hear the chief testifying, and I agree with that. I mean, it is to a point where, you know, truly, when is enough enough? And when are we going to do something different? You know, because that's really what it's all about. What are we going to do to make it different? Which is really what I'm kind of, I don't know. Like I say, that whole case, I don't know. Like I said the other day on Brother Cleveland's show, I think it's really like just a waste of taxpayers' money, because they already have their mind made up, and even if they do find him guilty, I mean, the time won't compensate the life he took, you know, and that was definitely flat-out murder, because, I mean, they can, and they have done a good job, like you say, painting him as just a stark raving drug addict, like he just walked around with a sack of drugs all the time, high, you know, like they try to do us all, but in some cases it just doesn't work that way. But this is one year where they really trying to work that angle, and I'm just like you, hell, I got a bad heart, but my heart ain't got nothing to do with a motherfucker putting his whole weight on my neck, cutting off my blood flow to my brain and cutting my air off for 9 whole minutes and a half. So yeah, that like I said, is just a waste of time. Just sentence that motherfucker and get it over with. And I agree. Yeah, somebody lean on his fucking neck and let's see how. Excuse me. Let's see how he keeps breathing, or if he keeps breathing. Yeah, I agree. Also, another too little, too late case, and I kind of mentioned Emmett Till earlier, but that's just another, you know, injustice. And now they want to try to reopen this case for what? Who's going to jail? The men who killed him are dead. You know, the time to punish him was then, but this system has always worked for those who commit the real crimes and the real murders and the real terrorism and all of the above. The laws were built for them. The laws, this system was made for them to get off. And 9 times out of 10, that is exactly what happens. They get off. With a little more than a slap on the wrist. And I mean, like I say, I mean, even if you give them life, it doesn't replace the life that they took. It doesn't replace, you know, any of the ones that they've taken. So, honestly, I'm just to a point with all of that, like, I just really don't have no faith in this system, really never have, because it always manages catch us and never catch the big dogs. You know, like I say, we the low men on the totem pole. Our dollars ain't making that much sense, but we're always the target. We're always the ones that are, you know, looked at first when it comes to any type of criminal activity. And the biggest criminal sitting right up there in Washington, making laws for everybody that they don't follow. And I'm going to take another quick break. I got about 27 more minutes to go in the show tonight. Take another quick break. If you're listening online, call in 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Be back after this quick break.
I want to thank Brother Jesse Gray, for the invitation to come here this afternoon and participate in this rally, which I believe is for the good of the community, the good of the black community. And anything that's good for the black community, the white man should realize it is good for his community. Jesse Gray is one of the key persons in the Harlem area, primarily because he's dealing with one of the key problems, the problem of housing. It doesn't make any difference what else you have. If you don't have some place to rest your head, you're in bad shape. Here in Harlem, the reason we say that housing is such a key problem, when you live in a poor neighborhood, you're living in an area where you have to have poor schools. When you have poor schools, you have poor teachers. When you have poor teachers, you get a poor education. And when you get a poor education, you are destined to be a poor man and a poor woman the rest of your life. Poor education, you can only work on a poor-paying job. And that poor-paying job enables you to live again in a poor neighborhood. So it's a very vicious cycle. And usually these bad housing conditions result from the fact, as Mr. Gray has pointed out, of absentee landlords, people who are rich and live downtown and let you and I live up here in the shack. Actually, it's a form of 20th century slavery. And what you and I have to let the man know is we are peaceful people. We are loving people. We love everybody who loves us. But we don't love anybody who doesn't love us. We're nonviolent with people who are nonviolent with us. But we are not nonviolent with anyone who is violent with us. Once those intentions are made known, we can get to the nitty-gritty of the problem. We can get to the core of the problem. We can get to the root of the problem. And then we can correct the problem. There's been a lot of talk said recently because I was supposed to have said something about Negroes should buy rifles. White people have been buying rifles all their lives. No commotion. I see an editorial right here in a paper they call the Journal America, one that we happen to have sued against for around $6 million for saying the wrong thing a few years ago. It says that we're supposed to be organizing some kind of Negroes to arm themselves with rifles and shotguns for self-defense. America is based upon the right of people to organize for self-defense. This is in the Constitution of the United States. You read it for yourself. Brother James had the Constitution. He brought the Constitution in with him. I don't know why. What is that? No, what article is that? The Second Amendment to the Constitution spells out the right of people under this particular governmental system to have arms to defend themselves. All of you know I'm not an integrationist. I'm a believer in the Honorable Elijah and follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Right. I'm still a Muslim. My religion is Islam. Right. I run into some obstacles in the Nation of Islam, and I feel that I can best serve the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's purpose and program and carry into existence what I feel, I understand, concerning his objectives better on the outside than I can on the inside. And now that I have the independence of action, it's my intention to work with everybody or against everybody, whatever the case may be, to try and get some kind of immediate solution to the problems that are confronting our people. I still believe the best thing for us to do is go back home to Africa. But while we're getting ready to go back, we've got to eat now, we've got to sleep now, we have to have some clothes now, our children have to go to school, and we need some place to work. So whatever kind of action program can be devised to get us the things that are ours by right, then I'm for that kind of action no matter what the action is. I don't think when a man is being criminally treated that some criminal has the right to tell that man what tactics to use to get the criminal off his back. When a criminal starts misusing me, I am going to use whatever is necessary to get that criminal off my back. And the injustice that has been inflicted upon Negroes in this country by Uncle Sam is criminal. Don't blame a cracker in Georgia for your injustices. The government is responsible for the injustices. The government can bring these injustices to halt.
All right, welcome back to the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Brother Malcolm, one of our most inspiring ancestors. I'm always inspired by his words, and it's always just listening to, you can listen to any of Malcolm X's speeches, and they are still so relevant to this very day. Speaking on police brutality, still relevant to this very day. Speaking on our rights to bear arms, and, you know, I'm all for self-defense. I'm all for arming up and being prepared, because you got to be ready, so that you got to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And that's part of the problem, too. We wait to react. We get ready when it's too late. And like I was saying earlier, I don't care what it is that you're doing. It takes planning. It takes preparation. You have to come up with a plan of action. You have to stay on code. I mean, right, Brother Malcolm was saying, you know, who taught us how to hate ourselves? And then we hate ourselves so much that we lay each other down in the damn streets every night. Every night. But yet, when it's time to arm up, and when there is a viable enemy, we don't see that same type of energy. And we need warriors on all fronts. Like I was saying a moment ago, it takes one whole nation, one whole people to cause this movement, to solidify this movement. Like I say, it didn't work in the 50s and 60s because 25% of the people participated. You know, this was a nationwide movement. Like I say, we are we not paying attention to what's going on? Are we not really paying attention to the Breonna Taylors? Are we really not paying attention to the George Floyds that's happening? Because to me, it seems like we're not really understanding the severity of what's happening right now. And what's happening right now is nothing, it's plain and simple genocide. I'm just going to call it what it is. And then, as well as our self-genocide. So, you know, like I say, there's so many elements, there's so many things that are holding us back. But like I say, the power to correct lies within each and every one of us. And it's going to take each and every one of us just doing what we can, when we can. You know, because we all have lives, true. We all have bills, true. But sacrifice a little bit of your time for everybody. Sacrifice a little bit of your money for everybody. Like I say, we possess the power to correct so many things that we complain about. You know, and here over the last few weeks, there's been so many senseless shootings. And children are losing their lives. Children. And I look at my little grandkids, and I love them to death. And I think, what if somebody was driving down the street and decided that, oh, there go that nigga, I'm finna get him. And they happen to shoot one of your nieces, nephews, children. See, that has to stop within our communities, and we got to stop that too. It's just a necessity. In order for us to truly change our condition, like I say, we got to work on internal issues as well as external. And the first one being just learning how to work together and build together. But it remains to be seen. And do I think we can? Yes, I truly do think we can. I just don't think we will, because we don't truly understand what's waiting on us if we unify, start working together as one people. And there's so many great things waiting on us when we get ourselves together, but we got to do that first. But I'm going to close this show out. I do appreciate everyone for listening. Appreciate you, Brother Kevin, for calling in and supporting. We have Tuesday's show, The Empowerment Zone, Mark Higgins. Wednesday's show, The Uprising with Brother Cleveland Moore. All shows, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also Thursdays, Probability, Panther Power Chat Open Rant. I don't know. He may come back for another round or two. But all those shows start 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Like I say, I appreciate everyone for listening. I love all of you all who support and listen and call in, especially my call-ins. That just helps me kind of keep the rhythm of my show going. But just think about some of the things that I said, and let's revamp this civil rights movement that our ancestors created and did so well. I must say they did a magnificent job, and Hispanics should say it, Asians should say it, everyone should say it, because everyone benefits from it except us. And that's why I stated earlier in the show that we need to start our own grassroots movement, those like-minded individuals amongst us, so that we will know what's going on, and we can also have that camaraderie and the confidence and trust within one another. It's really what it's all about. We need each other, y'all. I keep saying that. I'm going to keep saying that until it sink in. But once again, I appreciate everyone for listening. And this has been the Panther Party Radio Network and The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. And like I said, I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Come back next week. Peace. Oh, and like I always say, let's plan, organize, unify. We all have a key. I'm out. Peace, problem, love.
I used to think I gotta be a nigga, 'cause I'm black and I'm poor. But I don't believe that. Not anymore. But I remember being a child with my mama, and her niggas would do her wrong. My mama would sing that same old song. Sometimes she would sing it with tears in her eyes. Sometimes she would sing it after a sigh. Niggas and flies. Niggas and flies. Niggas and flies. I never asked her what she meant, but I always wondered why my mama would compare a nigga to a nasty little fly. For years and years I wondered, what the hell was she talking about? Took me to go to prison to finally find out. See, what time to sit and think on what led me to the cell, it was all them things that made me a nigga that put me in living hell. See, flies are hypnotized by shit. They love it. But the difference between niggas and flies is, flies only like shit that stink. Niggas like all kinds of shit. Now I'ma tell you what kind, just give me a second, think. Niggas like expensive shit. Niggas like fast shit. Niggas like cool shit. Then you got niggas in different places that use different words for the shit that put smiles on their faces. New York niggas call it fat shit. Philly niggas call it hot shit. D.C. niggas call it tight shit. Down there, the southern Ebonical grammar's what they use to spit. So the things they don't like, they call Bama shit. Now, where I come from, if a nigga don't like something, it's called bullshit or fuck shit or nut shit. And if a nigga do something to you and you ain't willing to stab him, kick him, stomp him, or kill him, it's called pussy shit, chump shit, or bitch shit. See, the thing at the number one spot is this. It's all ignorant shit. Because nigga shit is ignorant shit. Another thing I learned from jail is that it ain't only the brothers. Niggas come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. You got white niggas and black niggas, short niggas and tall niggas. Ignorance makes them all niggas. Now, to remain a nigga takes a whole lot of bravery, because being one makes you a prime candidate for modern-day slavery. See, the government's laws ain't hard to figure. They're designed to make it illegal to be a nigga. That's the game's rules. The tools they use are lack of books and nigga schools. Welfare and free health care to create dependent fools. America, the United States, are nigga warehouses. Because they breed niggas. Prison, the United Gates, are nigga warehouses, and they need niggas to fill them up. But what bothers me is, a nigga act like if you a nigga that you should be proud. Like you should stand on the roof and yell it out loud. But why should one be proud of being a nigga? Because you sell drugs to your brothers and sisters and pull triggers? Or maybe it's because niggas use sperm to make bastards in life. Fatherless children become niggas from lack of fatherly advice. Therefore, niggas make niggas. Or maybe a nigga should be proud because a nigga lies and a nigga steals and gives useless excuses like I needed that money to pay my bills. See, I got a $500 a month car bill. I got a $200 a month weed bill. I got a $300 a month cell phone bill. After I finish paying those, I don't have money for my children's clothes, for my light bill, my water bill, my cable bill, my gas bill. For niggas, these problems are heavyweight, because niggas ain't got their priorities straight. Ain't got food for the house, but got a fresh pack of $10 cigarettes, and a nigga wouldn't be complete without a nigga. See, Nigette's watch TV instead of watching her kids. Her answers to marriage problems is, get your ass in the bed. Tell her to get a job and she'll get very upset, enjoying the luxuries of the welfare check. More and more kids mean more and more money, but her children still go to school looking bummy. The food stamps buy choke sandwiches. The rest is traded for cash so she can buy some tight jeans to show off her ass. Where you go, hun? One of them niggas killed your son to get your head done. One of the others sold crack to your mother. Why'd he do that? To put that $800 coat on your back. Bring that to a nigga's attention and she'll feel bad, but use a song for a front and say, you got to use what you got to get what you want. Well, what you want. Well, what I don't want is to be a nigga anymore. But from a nigga to a black man is like fighting a war. Happy to be niggas that call you names and beat you down for trying to change. Instead of niggas and flies, maybe mama should have said niggas and crabs. See, because every time I try to get out the barrel, a nigga reaches out and grabs me and tries to pull me back. But you could take that leg, nigga, because I ain't having that. See, I learned that being a man comes with paying a price, so that leg you use to pull me back is the leg I sacrifice. I want to be a black man, not a nigger man, understand? Because nigger men cause misery while black men make history. Nigger men always make excuses for why they put their necks in nooses. Black men stand up like kings. A nigga will fall for anything. That's why I'm taking a stand. I ain't a nigga no more. I'm a proud black man. I'm a strong black man. I'm a wise black man. Understand? Fly niggas.